$1 trillion altcoin.
This altcoin is disrupting a $1 trillion industry. And as a first mover advantage, they're going to be attracting big money.
Welcome to the Bean Pod. This is your place for all things stocks and crypto. From beginner tips to expert picks, use this as fuel for your investing journey. Because when you're in the know, your money will grow.
This episode of the Bean Pod is sponsored by BitGet.
BitGet is the most user-friendly and secure crypto trading platform for both beginners and experienced traders.
BitGet is the best place to not only trade Bitcoin and Ethereum, but also all the small cap gems that we discuss every day.
With 24/7 customer support, leveraged trading, and a wide array of other advanced features, BitGet sets itself apart from every other centralized exchange.
Through Beanstalk's official partnership with BitGet, you'll receive 15% off all trading fees when you sign up using the referral link in the description.
Views expressed by speakers on the Bean Pod are solely their opinions. You should not treat any opinion expressed on the Bean Pod as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a specific strategy, but only as an expression of their opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
Welcome to the Bean Pod. This is Shane, aka the Jolly Green Investor.
And this is Josh, the Nifty Investor.
Today, we're going to be discussing an altcoin that is a first mover in a $1 trillion industry and is set to attract huge institutional money.
Today, we have the two founders, Chris and Mac from AxinDAO. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Lovely. Let's jump right into it. Let's tell the audience all about AxinDAO. What is going on? What is AxinDAO all about? And what problems are you guys solving?
Well, our data can be used to fund science. Now, AI can be used in tandem with blockchain to fund science and really protect individual data privacy. But there's a big, obvious problem in healthcare. I mean, healthcare is a mess. It's archaic. And if you dig a little deeper, science funding is also the same way. There's a valley of death and funding, you know, science and therapeutics. And right now there's really no alignment there. So we see something when you see Pepe have a multi-billion-dollar market cap, there's something missing. So we're trying to connect those pieces.
For sure. I mean, honestly, people that follow our show, people that know about AxinDAO, people that are about to learn about AxinDAO, I think we can all agree on one thing, and the crypto space needs more serious projects, right? You know, you just mentioned what happened with Pepe. You know, everyone loves making money. Meme coins can be fun. They can also make people lose a lot of money. But we like to focus on more serious projects on this show. And that's why we've, you know, we've been early investors in AxinDAO. We love talking to you guys. This is the first time we've had you guys on the show. So I think it's an exciting time for decentralized science, for blockchain as a whole. So when you look at what AxinDAO is doing right now, what you guys are doing right now, I think is pretty groundbreaking, and people don't really realize how important it is. You guys have just, you know, gotten to the early stages of releasing a platform that is able to detect diseases in people's bodies, like Alzheimer's or Parkinson's, before they develop. So I'm curious, you know, this seems like something more groundbreaking and more innovative than most all of the crypto projects. So I want to start this episode right away. Tell us about this platform and how exactly does it work?
The A+ voice. The thing is that during your lifetime, you get better and sometimes you get worse. And you can analyze different elements of your body in terms of the movement, your blood, or for example, your voice. And the thing is that there are factors that we can pull out from the human voice and make this kind of assessment by observing them on a daily basis. This is what A+ Voice is. It's a web-based system where user can register, log in, give a consent, and start recording their voice for the research purpose. In the long run, the idea is that this project will become a product.
How far away are you guys from this product? Like, I'm hearing AI voice collection. Sounds groundbreaking. How exactly are you going to be doing this? Is there going to be like a physical device that people will be using? And what is the incentive for somebody like me or the audience to provide my voice data for you guys to utilize?
Well, nothing simpler than just getting yourself to the aplusvoice.io page, registering. Probably next day, this week, we will be connected physically with Data Lake to make a final version of the consent system. And after that, you can utilize your computer, you can utilize your phone. You don't have to have any additional devices. There is a page, you are just recording your voice, things that are telling you what to do next, and it should take you like a 7-minute stops on a daily basis.
So this is something that you can use every single day. You don't need anything extracurricular. Like if I have a phone or a laptop, I can provide and contribute to decentralized science. Am I being rewarded in tokens? Am I receiving AXGT, Ethereum, Bitcoin? What am I receiving for providing this data?
Yep, you are rewarded with AXGT. The idea is you can use it on a daily basis. The frequency of how often you should participate in projects or research projects that you will choose depends on the research itself. In terms of A plus voice, we said that it should be at least one time per day. But in other projects, it will be one time per week. Nevertheless, this is all about scale. And the system is already working. We tested it internally. And we know that eventually, when people are starting delivering the data, system is able to confirm that it has expected value in terms of that we recorded what we've been asking for. You are getting the AXGT tokens, and then you can send them to your wallet.
Very cool. I feel like a lot of people, when they hear about AxonDAO, they understand, yes, AxonDAO, okay, it's the leader of the DeSci category, decentralized science. They have these platforms that are, you know, solving all these issues and contributing massively to studies, medical research, and all that. But I feel like one of the things that it kind of gets maybe pushed under the rug or kind of forgotten about is the fact that AxonDAO is actually a leading AI project as well. Mm. Now, you have to look no further than AxonDAO being part of the NVIDIA Inception Accelerator program, which not a lot of crypto projects are a part of. Typically, crypto projects will be part of a developer program, which is a lot easier to get into, but AxonDAO has already been a part of the NVIDIA Inception Accelerator program. However, we've started to hear some chatter about how you guys are trying to actually align yourself and move forward and become an official NVIDIA partner. Now, obviously, everyone in the world, everyone in the tech world, they understand NVIDIA is the number one infrastructure company in AI. NVIDIA and AI are now hand in hand. So tell us exactly what this means, what it would possibly mean if AxonDAO becomes an official NVIDIA AI partner. What does that mean for AxonDAO? What does that mean for the technology you get? And what does that mean for moving all of these projects that you just described forward? Like give us a bit of an insight into that.
Yeah. Take that. When we went to NVIDIA GTC, we met with their Inception consultants. We met with several. It was great. Their whole thing is they want everyone to kind of be an ecosystem. And for us, the first stage was to be, accepted into the Inception program. So we did that. And then the next phase moving on is to be invested by NVIDIA, and the minimum is $10 million. And so we see that when we scale out our projects, that we're going to be able to offer some type of hardware device that will be supplement to that. So we'll kind of announce that in a little bit later, but we're trying to get the DApp, work through the protocols there, kind of test. And then after that, we're going to scale and we want to start utilizing their hardware and, the personal retail, and then I guess the server side too.
I like it. So it sounds like there's a real possibility of becoming this official NVIDIA partner, which is also going to come with a minimum of a $10 million investment. That's huge. That's massive. I mean, there's not a lot of other projects out there. Shane and I we're in the Web3 space for 8-9 years now. There's not a lot of other projects out there that we can say, hey, look, we're an official NVIDIA partner.
Invested in by NVIDIA.
Yeah, that's
rare. Would be. Do you guys know of any other projects that have become an official partner and gotten this $10 million investment? Because I certainly can't think of any off the top of my head.
Not that we're aware of that's in our space. And we've been the first, at least in the U.S., to fight the U.S. laws, not to fight them, but to work within them. And so, like, we find ourselves kind of breaking ground in a lot of spaces. Not to say we're not being courted by, we're not the only one that they're being courted by, but by all means, I think we were the first one there that was any sort of a crypto-related project.
Yeah, not only are you guys breaking ground, but what you're doing is groundbreaking. So far in this episode, we've learned that you're able to detect diseases in the body before it even happens, which is, no other project can say that. Then you're rewarding users or people for providing their data anonymously with AXGT tokens, which can be converted to Ethereum or Bitcoin, whatever. So I'm being rewarded for this information. And you have an NVIDIA partnership potentially on the horizon. I need to know, like, how are you guys able to make all these inroads, and where's the success coming from? Like, what are your guys' background in AI and science to make this happen? And maybe you can tell us a little bit more about how big the Axon DAO team is right now.
Well, I can start if you want on that. The one thing that we know is that our data is being sold and used by others. So why not put it in our hands? And right now with the AI and all these powers that be, like, why don't we have independent ownership of this data? And so, like, we're trying to find patterns that can be anonymized to share with others so that we can see the patterns that are detrimental or that are positive. So now that we have all this information, where is it? So that's the major problem. But, you know, my background was with Axon since 2012, really. And before that, I was in media and publications and data, got into mobile apps. But we learned with Axon doing telemed that, you know, just how archaic the methods are and just how behind they are. And then clinical data, when we realized in 2020 during COVID, just how loose, like how clinical data, like how they are gathering it, just there's so many bottlenecks. So when we discovered that there is this valley of death in funding therapeutics and other things, you know, now we see AI coming into play, like it all is just kind of coming together in this beautiful, like choreographed thing. And timing has been a wonderful thing. Same with Mac. I think he could attest to the timing has been, you know, kind of on our side a little bit, for sure. So we're just going to take these wins as they come with us.
Well, the thing is that things that we do now are part of our previous experience also in terms of the neural networks, let's call it AI. Logic behind the data, sometimes it's not basically AI. It doesn't require sometimes neural networks. Just consider that you can create really fantastically working, performing algorithm when you are touching in some kind of most undisciplined way, I would say in more irrelevant and original manner possible. 1997, I was studying physics, and then I created my first research project. It was about heartbeat recorded by the Holter devices. It's like a 24-hour recording, and we were struggling to find a solution as a students, how to find some kind of factors that are explaining you something about this patient. And we were trying to use statistical approach, very logical approach as the academia is looking for. And then one of our professors, he came up and he said, try to use deterministic chaos. And we were like, but it worked. So basically, in latest years, in late 2000s, for example, I was building a sentiment analysis Twitter kind of mining project that was doing for PR company analysis around what people are saying about sentiment, about top 500 Forbes companies. Then in 2015, we created PsychoProfiler. And I think that in 2015, I understood that not only patterns, but there are things that you can interconnect, like cadence, like a timbre of voice, and they are speaks very precisely about your mental state. Here in the A+ voice, we are basically trying to catch up 20 different factors, and they are more than rich space of information about your state of mind and things that are happening in terms of the day after day after day. When you provide the data, and we can say something about you, like about some incoming issues you might have.
And one other thing to note is my background after college in marketing and business, I got an audio recording engineer degree. And so it was really cool to see that now we're coming back around to this whole audio thing. And, you know, I'm kind of proud of it. It was a 2-year degree I got in 1 year. It was really hard, and it was like over, you know, a lot of work. So understanding the audio background, and then now we're bridging all that back around here. It's a wonderful thing to see it, that and knowing like how audio works and how frequencies work. And now we're applying it in this way. It's just, it's a really, really cool thing that we have here.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, we always love talking about real projects with real teams and real founders that have experience rather than people shilling these anonymous projects with, you don't know who these people are. And the level of trust in crypto, I think, has suffered significantly because of the plethora of anonymous projects who end up just, you know, not following through because they don't have experience or not being able to execute because they have no team. So it's always nice to hear from a team like you guys in AxiomDAO that actually has been working in this space for a long time. And you guys bring a wealth of experience from all kinds of industries that, you know, makes your success a lot more, you know, probable. So it's nice to hear that. Now, going back to kind of the decentralized science industry as a whole, you know, we like to identify disruptors on this show. So obviously, you know, we've been talking about Bitcoin for a while. Bitcoin is the decentralized solution to all of the problems of traditional finance. We were very early on a project called BitTensor, and that has become the number one decentralized AI project, which is solving a lot of the problems of monopolies and centralized companies controlling AI models. And we always make the analogy that AxiomDAO is and has the potential to continue to be the BitTensor AI, the Bitcoin of finance. AxiomDAO can be the decentralized science leader. But the conversation when you speak about science, you know, all the big pharmaceutical companies, you know, your Pfizer's, your Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, whatever it is, how are they going to play or cooperate or not cooperate with disruptive companies like yourself? So I want to ask you guys as industry insiders, what is your take on how companies like AxiomDAO and the whole decentralized science movement can work together, can disrupt, or just generally cooperate and change the science space as a whole? How do you think those big companies are gonna take this?
Well, that was the part of my initial thesis. You know, instead of building agile and really common knowledge structures, like the researchers are creating that kind of silos of ideas and some kind of prototypes, we locked ourselves in universities, you know, with duplicated research efforts, reinvent the wheel, or do just generic studies with a very narrow scope. And all this has some meaning. Of course, I'm not denying that universities is important and necessary. But the thing is that how we can direct it all into the, you know, future. Let's create a living structure of research projects. Let's imagine that every DeSci project is, and I'm using this metaphor, so sorry for that. It's like every DeSci project is an island in an archipelago. Each of them is sovereign country, like a sovereign institution, but they all together create something bigger. And what if we can, you know, working set of different interconnected services? You've mentioned the kind of marketplace of AI solutions. What we do, every project that we do is a kind of mathematical model. So I can say it's an algorithm. Let's imagine that we are creating a group of algorithms that are cooperating with each other, like an agent-to-agent model, and they all are working on behalf of the patient user will. So you, me, if we are collecting our health data, we are saying, I'd like to try to use the estimations done by Project X or Project Y. If this will work better than that one, I will start utilizing only Project X. But in the same time, the same data set can be analyzed by many different, you know, algorithms, and it gives you a depth around the observation about your state. And we never did that before. It was like always you were entering the place where the doctor is and he was giving you the kind of definition of what's happening and how we will proceed. I'm not denying that doctors are important. They are absolutely important and crucial. But we want to add additional scientific ways to observe and estimate the same issues from different perspectives.
Yeah, we want to solve problems together. We want to show a better option. And the thing is that we're independent. And so I think that is a big testament to that's where you're going to get the traction with the public, I feel. And if we can make that independent application, and then all of a sudden people will start A, trust, but B, they'll be able to, you know, do things that will be, you know, workable within those institutions. And one of the other things is Mac made a point before, and this is a big point to make, is that there's a third mile here that we hope to solve here with people once they get their medicine or what they get their treatment from, you know, an institutional doctor, that after they get their treatment until the time they talk to their doctor, they have some sort of a monitoring. And this DSI can actually provide that missing link there to show, like, how did this medical treatment solve or, increase the problem. So there's so many things here, but the other big key point here is that what DSI is that it's really not touched by anything outside of, you know, DSI. Like, so it's independent. So you're going to have a true answer. The data is going to be true, and it's independent from the public, kind of persuasion. And the kind of the other final note to make is that DSI has the option here, and it's really our point to make, that this Health Data Alliance notion that we've been pulling together, that we have many folks, many entities in the DSI space are coming together to align themselves with this idea that data shouldn't be siloed. We should, share it together, and we should work in unison. And by all means, I mean, Mac can attest to this. A lot of the other DSI projects that we've been working with, they've solved problems. And then because we're not competing in this manner, that we were able to like leapfrog ahead and actually get to the meat of the problem, as opposed to like fighting for competitional space. We're able to work in unison. And that's really what science was supposed to be. And our years of learning this, it's supposed to be all together in one. And somehow it's just got perverted into this weird thing where, public funding just goes to like one private company, and it's just not right. So I think people are starting to get a taste for this whole thing.
Right. So, I mean, if you look at the landscape of traditional finance now, you're starting to see acceptance of Web3. You know, you're starting to see all these big banks are starting to partner with DeFi projects and the ETFs, everything's getting approved, and all these payment things slowly but surely are being integrated into the world of traditional finance, but it's taken them a long time, right? So do you see, like, in the future, say, look, 5-10 years down the future, once you guys have this physical device out and people are actually using it and trust and data is being built up, do you see a world where, Pfizer, Moderna, Merck, all of these large multinational pharmaceutical giants have implemented blockchain technology or have partnered with companies like yours? Do you see this as, again, these are slow moving corporations that are slowly but surely going to adapt the mindset of like adapt or die, start to integrate this technology into their general, workflow, or they will be disrupted? Do you think that's the direction that you guys see this industry moving?
I can make one point, and I'd like to hear Mac's take on this. It's just kind of like blockchain or Bitcoin. It's like, oh, well, it's better. And then people just realize it is, and it just makes sense. So that's the whole point. We just want it to work in unison and just be a better option because the tools are there. But I'd like to hear Mac's take on that too.
The financial system is closing the loop. So our incomes, the tokens, the funds that we are creating or making from the crypto activities will be probably taxated completely in a way that governments expect them to do. And this probably will shut the discussions about what is wrong or right with the crypto. I don't care. I'm fine with paying taxes on crypto. The thing is that how we are utilizing blockchain, it's not only about how we implemented this technology inside of our projects, but how we are utilizing the funds that we are creating from DAO-based decentralized science structures. If you look at the landscape of the healthcare companies or medtech or pharma industry, well, they do use the blockchain. They utilize blockchain, but as we mentioned this many times, blockchain is virtual database. They use it mostly for one thing, to make something that we call in the healthcare industry audit trail, like a breadcrumbs of all operations that happened in the past around anything. Because when you have regulated environment, and for example, FDA or any other European institution will come up to you and try to verify what kind of actions you've made around the patient, your product and batch products, anything, versioning. If you will keep it in the blockchain, it's even more aligned with the quality systems than classical databases. This is why basically the pharma industry is utilizing blockchain in this manner. But those are not the kind of widespread products. It's like internal systems that are only to upkeep the quality of the
right.
of the requirements.
Absolutely. Look, there's no question about it. Axon DAO is revolutionizing a $1 trillion industry. There's no question about that. You guys are doing groundbreaking things here, and we're very excited to see, you know, how A Plus Voice rolls out in addition to Axon DAO and how you guys move forward. But I do want to touch a little bit on the crypto side of things. And this might be a little bit more of an interest to some of our degenerates. What is the purpose and the utility of the AXGT token? And besides, you know, governance and whatnot, what is going to drive more holders to Axon DAO?
I mean, I take that. Drive more holders. Well, accessibility. The idea, if you take a little step back here, there's 90% or so of people do not know crypto. Mm-hmm. And so those 90% of people do know what social media is, and they understand where their data might go or might not go. So if we can make it a seamless thing for them to participate and their data being used and get some sort of a return for participating with their data, they know it's being sold. So if we can make it seamless, they don't even have to integrate with data, crypto, anything. They just get sort of value from the data that's already being sold. So that's really the key point here that we're trying to make. But you know, other than that is accessibility. Like we have Arbitrum, it's on Arbitrum base, and obviously Ethereum is such a widespread thing, but you know, we intend to list on some exchanges here very soon. We're starting with the application to Coinbase, and then we just wanted to start working. But in factors of the utility, like we just wanted to work without it having to be something they even know is working. The utility just does the thing. But then the added benefits will be if you want to participate in the DAO and submit projects or, you know, do various things that we're going to be, you know, rolling out. We're going to have a merch shop and some other cool things. So, you know, we're learning as we go. We're 4 months in, you know, since launch. But, you know, I think we're trying to hit those things on the head with the, you know, all the demands. But, you know, we're just trying to do this right and do the right things and make sure that the foundation is there to support this for the long term.
Well, and the other thing, you are wearing smart rings. You are utilizing different devices to measure your health. You are using Apple Health Kit. You don't know that. You are using Google Feed. Your data is somewhere. You don't earn on this data. You don't know what's happening with this data. Why not to start earning on this? I'm saying about practical earning. I'm not saying that we are like many projects before explaining that we will collect the data. We are already collecting the data. The Health Data Alliance is kind of side thing only for the companies and projects like ours, just to inform in between each other who has what kind of data sets. Because sometimes really cool ideas around the research cannot be done because you don't have data to play with your idea, your algorithm. And this way we can, first of all, deliver really quickly with very properly managed the ownership of this data, a data to the researcher, and in the same time create products that we can include in the solution that we've built already. Just imagine that probably late September we will be somehow rolling out officially third-party algorithm connected with our application. It means that the algorithm marketplace, which will be the part of the things that we are doing, will be able to compute the data that our users are collecting. What does it mean? Some of those computations will be for free, some of them won't. And our users will be able to pay with AXGT for those computations. And we, as the owner of the platform, we will take a chunk of this payment. So it's like, just imagine that we are creating a landscape where basically third-party algorithms will also be introduced to the user profiles, and with consent of those users, could be utilized by those users. and they will say yes or no, and they will pay or not. But in the same time, they made the money from their data. They helped to create algorithms, though as those algorithms are getting better. It's like self-proclaiming, you know, the story makes this, the whole infrastructure around your health and how your data, health data, is being processed healthy.
Right. Yeah, no, it's interesting. I really like that point you made about people are already giving their data to the big corporations. You're using Google. It's tracking where you're going. You're using Apple, iWatch, all that kind of stuff. It's tracking your steps. It's tracking your data, whether you really even consented or not.
I think I saw a chart the other day. It was like the Apple AirPods. It's like a $27 billion company. Mm. Like the revenue generated from it. It's like above Tesla or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's all because of the data they collect from you by how you walk around, the information that it's receiving, all these things. $27 billion just from these freaking headphones.
I never consented to that.
No.
I guess I did in some terms and conditions, but like, you know what I mean? It's
$27
billion. Yeah.
And I'm not seeing a penny of that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I want to go back to one thing you just said there, Chris, about, you know, people still, you know, there's a lot of criticism in crypto, blah, blah, blah. People are very impatient, and we talk about that on this show a lot. But people have to keep in mind that AxenDAO and AXGT, yeah, you're only 4 or 5 months from launch. You guys already have 20,000 holders. You've already expanded from Ethereum to Arbitrum and now to Base. So speak to what that exactly means to AxenDAO, to the project, to the community, to, you know, exposure. And are there any, how first of all, how was that experience? What does it mean for exposure? And is it gives you more access to developers or, you know, people in those ecosystems? And are there any other chains that you might look to expanding to in the future?
I can keep it as easy as possible. It's to be used on our system, so it's not a $5, $8, $20 transaction to vote and integrate in that way. So that's why we want to have that. And just the general accessibility, like Base is hot. People want to use it. It integrates with Coinbase. Coinbase has worked within the U.S. system. So we feel like there's so many ways that it works with us to work with an L2 like that. As of right now, I don't think we have any other things in the pipeline, even though our bridge that we do have now kind of has the wires pulled for an optimism bridge. But I think right now we're done trying to expand further until we like really get our projects working and kind of work through those things. But we're finished with the Certik audit, but that's with a this smart contract that we just deployed that kind of will function a little autonomously, some manual things we're doing, but they also looked at everything else. So we're taking all the steps to kind of make everybody happy and take those steps, but it takes, sometimes we're not in control of the schedule there. So.
Oh yeah. Wow. Very interesting. I mean, look, you guys don't have to convince us. We have been bullish on AxenDAO from the start. We see the long-term vision in a massively disruptive AI, DeSci, everything company. So the last question would just be, put your bullish hat on here, speak to the community, tell us maybe about some other DeSci projects other than A Plus Voice that you're going to be incubating or launching during or throughout the rest of 2024. What are some other important catalysts and what can people look forward to seeing AxenDAO do and bring out for the rest of this year?
The part of the necessary things that we didn't expose and maybe didn't want to overwhelm our community is that we have to prepare the following two things. One is the universal patient profile, and basically it's done. It's something like a Apple Health or Google Feed. And the second thing is the patient data safe, which means that all the data or computations, results that we will make based on the data users, our users will provide, will be the safe of those users. The idea is simple. It should be ready probably before the end of the summer. The fun part is that maybe we should say we are lucky because of this incoming basically started summer, because we are experiencing nowadays like massive disruption globally, like right now. And when I look at around us in the industry, basically everyone is flying somewhere and things are getting crazy because the world is changing faster than we are capable of, you know, to grasp. Even in the industry of the healthcare, the things are getting kind of amazing in so many vectors. And The good thing is that things will a little bit, the market will slow down probably during the summer, and we will be super strong in September in terms of the rolling out the things like we said, this patient profile with the application where you are controlling your data set, the application where you can basically disconnect anyone who you gave a consent before. So you are complete owner and master of your data. The next thing is that using the same technology, we will create a solution where you can share your data with your doctor and also revoke it. So you will still have complete control over the data. Another thing is that inside of this application, with the data you will provide, we are creating something we are calling, you know, life health, life history. So it's going to be kind of diagram presenting things that happened within your lifetime in terms of your health. Because when you go to the doctor, he's trying to understand the history of your, you know, issues, or what kind of issues were coming from your mother, father, your grandfathers. And this way, we are trying to build something very simple, but super effective. As I said before, this year, as a connection with the data you are collecting in the system we created, we will bring the third-party applications, third-party algorithms, which means that we can scale not just with the tempo that we will have, but we can scale in the directions we won't be able to fill with our potential. We will utilize already created technologies by the small startups or projects that are already certified and trying to roll out something interesting to the general audience. So, also, the thing that we will be able to use this year is to become a co-owner, or kind of, in a sense, in general sense, to buy an ownership in the research results. This is something that we are right now working in terms of the law and part of the legal things that needs to be fulfilled before. Yeah. It's going to be groundbreaking, I think.
Excuse me. Yeah, to add to that, and just to add a little detail to there, the projects that we're working on right now, like, it's kind of amazing. Sometimes I got to pinch myself. Like, Purusha is working on psilosis, and that is a study for microdosing, and we're doing the whole ethic standards and the whole nine yards. It's not a super light task, and someone of her academic experience is super necessary. So we're lucky to have that. So we're going to be publishing, hopefully, that from that data that we're going to be doing in psilosis is going to be something that's going to be published. And it's going to be an actual something we produced using decentralized means. And I believe it'll be the first anything done in a decentralized manner. And the other projects that we have, Matt can also talk about them too, but we have Gabu, we have AXH. It's basically like Axon's fundamental project that we're going to be doing other projects with. We have Ultra A Plus Voice using ultrasound. But some of the projects that maybe I haven't shared or talked too much about is, you know, me having a music background and understanding music, and I understand that artists and stuff should be able to work with people, and the music is something that people use as therapy. So maybe we should kind of connect those dots there. And then there's another thing too about cannabis. It's not being monitored correctly, and there's so much chemical breakdowns of the cannabis industry, but there's no correlation in the effects. So why not put those two things together? So we're working on some pretty awesome projects that, you know, I can't wait to get to that point when we can actually start really diving into the projects themselves instead of laying the highway concrete. So we're really excited for what's coming up, but, you know, thank you for everyone bearing with us at this, but, you know, we're onboarding new people and at the same time trying to, meet these milestones. So we're getting there and everything's starting to move, and it's a good feeling.
If I may, kind of maybe conclusion, but I don't want to be too braggy about it. We pay for the data. This is our risk. This is the risk of this project. Part of the tokenomics, part of the this token supply is for the paying for the user data. Even if the project does not deliver expected results, users will earn by sharing the data. That's not a promise, that's a statement. If things will work out, we will get to a place where research is solid enough to become a product or service. At this stage, we will make a technology valuation and define how much of it can be bought by the community with AXGT. We will explain this more officially soon. But just imagine, Axon DAO is investing sometimes 20, sometimes more, just let's say dozens of thousands of dollars in every of those projects. And after a few months, if things are getting us to a place where we've been expecting to get, the company, this project that is becoming a company, for example, can be worth 20 or maybe even 50 times more. But this makes AXGT a token that generates impact. You can translate it financially however you want. I don't want to utilize any kind of statements. It's from the real scientific work that was presented as a kind of service, product, research product. We are making something that has value and utility. And if Axon can build something that scales up like that, like A plus voice or Silosis, the worth of it is self-explanatory, I think.
Very cool. We want to help other DAOs, other projects, researchers, people who may not have super well versed in academia. Some guy might be in his garage and say, I have an idea. This is what we want to bring. We want to bring people's ideas to the light. And by all means, we've been there. We know what it's like to get rejected a million times by trying to get grants or funding. So we know the pain points, and we want to just try to make it easy because there's an obvious solution. We're just putting the pieces together. We just happen to be here at the right time.
That was a perfect way to end this episode. I could not have thought of a better response to make me even more bullish on Axon DAO than I already am.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, when you think about all the things that they've accomplished in such a short time, the things that all of you guys, that you guys have, all the catalysts, all the things that are going to continue to allow Axon DAO to grow in the future for 2024 and beyond. You got us excited. I feel like all the community members that already knew about Axon DAO are going to be excited. If this is your first time about learning about Axon DAO, I feel like you have to be excited. And if you think this is a project that sounds exciting, make sure to subscribe to this page because we are always going to keep you up to date with everything DeSci and everything Axon DAO.
Hey, make sure you guys tune into the next episode.
That one is going to be a banger.
All views expressed by speakers on the Beanpod are solely their opinions. You should not treat any opinion expressed on the Beanpod as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a specific strategy, but only as an expression of their opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.